welcome to Sunday Assembly Madison. We're a godless congregation that celebrates life. Our motto is, live better, hope often, and wonder more. I'd really like to thank everyone for coming tonight and for a little bit of forbearance in the early portion of the assembly. For all of the new faces, welcome, it's great to see you. And for the returning faces, it's good to see you again. Our speaker is going to be Ms. Anita Weir. She has a BA in Journalism and a Master's in Library and Information Studies from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. In addition to a distinguished career as a journalist, she's also been a Madison Common Council person. While on the Common Council, she helped move the Madison Equal Opportunity Ordinance forward to protect atheists and the non-religious as a protected class, which, to the best of my knowledge, is a first in this country. She'll be talking about those experiences and whatever else moves her. Would you please welcome Ms. Anita Weir.
I decided to add non-religion as a protected class in Madison's Equal Opportunities Ordinance because the ordinance already protected religious people from discrimination, so it seemed only fair and equitable to add the non-religious. A protected class is a group of people whom city officials believe needs protection from discrimination. Madison's ordinance now lists 27 protected classes, including sex, race, color, national origin, citizenship status, age, handicap, marital status, arrest record, sexual orientation, and others. I believe that discrimination against atheists and other non-religious people is widespread, affecting employment, public schools, and in discounts offered by places of public accommodation. In Paris, 12 workers for an atheist publication, Charlie Hebdo, were murdered. In Madison, the Freedom From Religion Foundation now has to provide protective security because of threats. A major study, Atheist as Other, published by the University of Minnesota in 2006, revealed that atheists are less likely to be accepted publicly and privately than any others from a long list of marginalized groups. The study looked at attitudes toward groups such as Muslims, immigrants, racial minorities, gays and Jews from the 1960s to the present, and found that every group had made great strides in social acceptance except atheists. More Americans disapprove of their children marrying atheists than any other class. Locally, some businesses have offered discounts to those who show a church bulletin. The Freedom From Religion Foundation also has encountered refusals by companies to make t-shirts, print brochures, or post billboards. Last year, CBS refused to air an FFRF TV ad made by Ron Reagan. Therefore, atheists, agnostics, and humanists need to be protected when applying for jobs and housing and using public accommodations. As you know, the religious right has assumed substantial control over our state and federal government, a situation that leaves the non-religious in a perilous situation. For instance, South Carolina's state law requires that the president of the university shall not be an atheist or infidel. Texas prohibits religious tests for public office, providing that the person acknowledges the existence of a supreme being. Atheists running for public office do not tend to out themselves. Atheist parents have been denied custody of their children because of atheism in states including Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, and Texas. Imagine the furor if this had been done to parents because they were Jewish or Mormon. Another issue that caused some confusion about my proposal was caused because an amendment protecting the homeless from discrimination was introduced at about the same time, leading some people, including a state journal columnist, to lump them together as one proposal. I also faced a time crunch since I would be leaving the council in April 2015, having decided not to run again. So I introduced the measure in late January, after Christmas. My amendment was first submitted to the City Council, which referred it to the Equal Opportunities Commission for a recommendation. The EOC, in turn, referred the proposal to its Employment Subcommittee. That committee approved the amendment with no opposition, though two members abstained, saying that their employers might not like their name connected to such a proposal. I encountered more opposition at the Equal Opportunities Commission, where the vote was 5 in favor, 3 against, and 1 abstention. Then I started explaining my amendment to my fellow council members. I was very encouraged by immediate support from many, including a relatively conservative alder from Madison, who said, of course, he co-sponsored. Ultimately, 14 of 20 council members signed on to support the measure. After testimony by 5 atheists and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the council approved the amendment unanimously on a voice vote. Though no one voted no or abstained, a few were silent. After it was passed, I received calls for interviews from numerous newspapers around the country. There was coverage locally here, TV stations and so on. And it was, I also was glad to receive emails from people in other cities around the country who were hoping they could introduce a similar measure. So I'm hoping that there might be more of this. And I think that's about it, unless you have questions.
What do you think your biggest challenge was in getting this measure moved through?
Well, it was the time factor for one thing, because city government moves slowly, and I felt I had to get done before I left the council. Also, I felt I had to be the one to do it because I was not running again. And I think that if I had been running again, I probably wouldn't have done it. So that was a challenge. Also, I guess misunderstanding by some people on what it meant and what was a creed and what wasn't, just kind of definitional things.
What was the mayor's position on your proposal?
Well, he doesn't vote unless to break a tie, but he was the one who appointed me to the Equal Opportunities Commission, so.
What were some of the comments that you got, correspondence that you got from your constituents or other Madison citizens?
Well, I got, I think it was 17 or 18 emails from local people, all supporting. And the only, I only got 2 actually from people in other areas that were against, one being from Texas. So, but it was generally quite supportive, and Madison's just that way. I think we have a large membership in the Freedom From Religion Foundation in, in Dane County, I guess it's 500 members, 1,200 in Wisconsin as a whole. So, well, you know, Madison's liberal.
Was there a specific reason you decided not to run again, or was it just time?
It was too many meetings. There were meetings Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, a lot. And I just needed my life back. So.
Did you find there was anyone, did you feel like there was anyone in the council who was actually against it but afraid to speak out? Or did anybody say anything negative along the way?
Well,
sounds like it was, like it just sailed through, kind of.
Well, there was one person, that's a opposition, but I expected him to.
But he didn't speak up publicly?
No, and I was kind of surprised. And I was really, really proud of the council when so many people signed on to sponsor it, because that goes into the public record and everything. And I thought they were very brave.
Thank you so much.
So I put some closing thoughts together for today. I picked the theme of beginnings because, you know, as we approach our one-year retrospective, we've kind of had this one-year experience of starting this. So about 2 years ago, one of the folks in the back and I were chatting, and he asked me a relatively simple question. Why is it that when someone who goes to church can ask one of their church buddies to help with a flat tire, and we can't? And I thought about it for a few moments, and I'm like, well, it's really hard to organize communities around lacks of things. And atheism, you know, as I had always viewed it, was sort of a lack of a belief in the supernatural, right? So you don't have stamp collecting groups that get around and don't collect stamps, and you don't have folks that get around and not play with trains. I mean, it just wouldn't make any sense. It's like, look, we're a not stamp collecting club. We don't collect stamps here. You guys that don't play with trains, don't play with trains over there. We're not collecting stamps. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So about a year goes by, and I see the ad for Sunday Assembly, and my friend independently saw the same one, and we eventually showed up together and then found this group. And it turns out that we actually do have a lot of stuff in common. We have all sorts of stuff in common. The sense of wonder for the universe. I mean, have you ever sat out on a dark night and thought about all of the stars? And there's just literally billions and billions of them, to Carl Sagan. Right? And is there life out there? And all this other stuff. And just the joy of life and watching some little kids smile when a one-year-old has their first Christmas and they're like ripping apart the presents and they have no clue what's going on. They know that they've been given this thing to tear apart and that's what they're going to do. And, you know, it's like all of this stuff that comes under the heading of we celebrate life. I mean, we know we've got one life, so let's try and live it the best we can. So on that note, we've had our year of kind of getting things started, and we've got some people that have come, and I want to invite all of you guys because you're part of this. This isn't about me and my thoughts. This is really about you and your thoughts. This is about all of us forming a community and coming together and celebrating the one life that we know that we have. And so the thing that I offer you to think up about as you're, you know, going your separate ways for the next month or two is, what do you want out of us? What do you want out of this? What do you want out of this community? And how can you give of yourself to help make that happen? And how can you talk to us about what you want so we can help give you what you want? Because really, from my point of view, I want a sense of community. I want to hang out with a bunch of cool, interesting people and think about how wonderful the universe is without any of the religious baggage associated with that that normally occurs. And that's really my thoughts for the day. Thank you so very much for attending, and there's snacks and conversation out in the hallway.